We welcome you to the Lord's house this Sunday evening and certainly on this eve of Christmas Day, as we are privileged to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of the Christ child, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. And for those who are able, may we please stand for our call to worship, followed by our opening hymn. From the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, the Scriptures tell us, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
They lived in the land of shadows, but now light is shining on them.
You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done." Our opening hymn, as we remain standing, there is a song in the air. We'll sing all three stanzas, please, of hymn number 159.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry, and the star rains its fire while the angel choir sing for the manger of Bethlehem, cradles a king.
There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth.
See, the star rains its fire while the angel choir sing for the manger of Bethlehem, cradles a king.
We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng.
And we welcome the glorious gospel they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
Please be seated as we focus our attention on the Advent wreath this evening. Trying to capture joy is similar to our desperate attempts to catch a fly by wildly reaching out and grasping with our hand towards its fleeting buzz. All too often we find in our clenched fist nothing but empty air, for time and again we chase after a myriad of entertainment venues even, social gatherings and acquisition of things, believing we'll experience joy fulfilled, only to end up in disappointment. On this eve of Christmas Day, as we light all the candles of the Advent wreath, including the fourth candle, the candle of joy, and certainly this evening, the Christ candle in the center of the wreath, we realize that the experience of profound joy actually comes simply by being in the presence of our gracious God in Christ Jesus our Lord, so lovingly expressed by the glow of the Christ candle in the center of the wreath. As Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We focus our attention on Christ our Lord as Mike Ransdell, with the assistance of his granddaughters, comes forward for the lighting of the candles of the wreath.
Focusing on the Advent wreath, we begin by lighting the first three weekly candles symbolized this year as the candles of hope, peace, and love. Now, may we focus our attention on the fourth candle, the candle of joy. What overflowing joy must have filled the hearts of the shepherds when they saw the heavenly host and heard the promised Messiah had been born. The same joy has filled the hearts of generations, and today it fills our very being as the presence of the Christ child lets us all know that God genuinely desires to be fully in the lives of every one of us, his children. For as Christ our Lord reminded his disciples at the Last Supper that their joy was complete in him, John 15:11, we affirm today that our joy is also complete as we embrace the presence of Christ within us. We'll now light the candle of joy. Now may we focus on the Christ candle. Placed in the center of wreath, this candle helps us remember that Jesus should be at the center of our attention so that his example can be at the center of our lives. From the chaotic and uncertain darkness of sinful alienation from God, the light of Christ's presence transforms our lives and illuminates a living pathway toward the peace and hope that God desires for all of his children. So as we have waited throughout the Advent season with eager expectations, and we have strived to remain faithful to God's ways, on this eve of Christmas Day, we are indeed filled with joy as we celebrate Christ's presence among us, represented by the glowing light of the center candle, the Christ candle.
Come listen, the sounds of God with us ring clear, and signs of a cross in the distance appear. The Word once made flesh, yet the Word ever near. One candle is lit for the Christ birthday here.
We'll now sing hymn number 162, all three stanzas of What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners, hear the silent word. God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come rich and poor to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
We are familiar with the words from the King James Version of Luke chapter 2, verse 10, in which the angel of the Lord said unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The word tidings in the King's English of the early 1600s simply meant news or a message. And of course, the news conveyed by the angel of the Lord, who was then accompanied by a great army of heaven's angels, was that in that very day in David's town, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord, had been born. This is indeed the good news, the extraordinary message that God came into the world to live as one of us and to offer up Christ, the Lamb of God, as the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. We recognize this truth not only on this Christmas Eve, but every Sunday as we share in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. All are welcome to share as we first of all turn to our communion hymn in preparation and sing all three stanzas of hymn number 147, Away in a Manger. As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads in a word of prayer as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
As we gather around your table tonight, we celebrate the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus. We ask this blessing on these emblems, the cup representing the shed blood on the cross, and the bread representing the broken body. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome all of you to share this evening.
Thank you.
The generosity of your gifts this evening are appreciated as they will support the emergency fund of Berry Christian Church that assists those in need throughout our community and leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our offering this evening.
Dear loving God, we know Jesus is the light of the world, but he also appoints us to be lights for him. Help us to spread his love and light to others through dedication and love to him and also to our church, and also by giving offerings and gifts tonight. Bless the offerings that are given tonight, and bless those who have chosen to share. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
May we stand? May we pray. Lord God, we're indeed grateful for the gifts received this evening and pray that they will indeed be used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading I share with you this evening, it's certainly a familiar one, Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, on this eve of Christmas Day, in which we celebrate your presence among us in the human form of the Christ child, we are humbled by the way you chose to dwell among us, a needy infant child, humbly wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. For your great grace and presence among us, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. The 12th verse of Luke chapter 2 tells us that the angel of the Lord gave a sign to the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem concerning the birth of the Savior. Again, in that King James Version that is so familiar to us, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In this series of three messages last Sunday, we learned that this sign was more easily understood than we might have imagined for the shepherds. They didn't need to search through every rock-walled sheepfold or every limestone cave that sheltered sheep that night. These Jewish shepherds would have been well-versed in the Hebraic scriptures of their teachings from the rabbi of their childhood years. They would have remembered the prophecies from the book of Micah, not only the text of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah, but the earlier text of Micah chapter 4, verse 8, that referenced in Hebrew the Migdal Eder that we spoke about so much last week. It simply means the watchtower of the flock. These shepherds may well have known with certainty that the angel of the Lord was telling them that they would find the infant child in the hewn-out basement-like cave below the Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock. This was the very same birthplace for the unblemished lamb used in the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. And on this night, it was the birthplace of the Messiah, God's final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin for all time. To the sheltered stable beneath the watchtower of the flock, the Bethlehem shepherds noticed that the Christ child was just as the angel had foretold. First of all, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Binding a newborn child in bands of cloth was a common practice in the day. Swaddling helped the newborn transition from the womb to the outside world by creating a snug and comforting environment. As I've even learned through the birth of my own grandchildren and our daughter-in-law's care for both of them, although now using revised garments rather than simple bands of cloth, today swaddling infants is coming back into practice for mothers and their babies. For it helps infants sleep better, it prevents them from scratching themselves, and is believed to reduce the risk of SIDS, that sudden infant death syndrome. The swaddled baby Jesus reveals that Mary was an attentive and loving mother who cared deeply for her newborn child as she provided the best practice known in her time. We also remember from last Sunday's message that when a lamb was born in the cave at Migdal Eder, if the newborn lamb was confirmed by inspection of the priest to be without blemish or defect, this lamb was also wrapped in swaddling bands to protect it from injury or blemish that would disqualify it from use as a sacrifice unto the Lord in the Jerusalem temple. And once, and at the same time, after that lamb was wrapped up, the lamb was also placed in a manger. Once the newborn lamb was able to calm down, as a result of this comforting banding, it was then also returned to the mother ewe. Secondly, the shepherds also noticed that the Christ child was, as the angel had foretold, lying in a manger. The word used for manger in our text from Luke is the Latin word munducere. The word simply means to eat. It was the place where the animals came to satisfy their hunger. Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. The small town south of Jerusalem was so named because the grains grown in the surrounding fields were used to prepare the bread for the offerings in the Jerusalem temple. And here on this night of nights, in which Mary and Joseph, the shepherds from the Bethlehem fields, and likely others were gathered around this particular manger, they were all gazing upon the one who would one day feed the souls of all humanity. For Jesus would say of himself in John chapter 6, verse 35, that he is indeed the bread of life, as he offers salvation for all who would repent and accept him. In one nativity scene after another, we often see the Christ child wrapped up and lying in some kind of wood frame structure or maybe some kind of carved out stone structure with straw for a bed. But it has been discovered that in biblical times, their mangers, or these feeding troughs, if you will, were actually typically constructed of easily accessible mud and straw. The manger was fashioned into a rectangular shape with the indention at the top to keep the animals' feed off of the filthy ground and thus safe for the animals to eat. All of these conditions, you see, the watchtower of the flock with the stable below that protected the newborn sacrificial lambs, the swaddling clothes, and also the mud and straw manger were all familiar to the shepherds who came that night. The sign given to the shepherds had transpired just as the angel of the Lord had said. For lying before them was indeed the Messiah, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the animal's feeding trough. Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20 tells us that when the shepherds saw Jesus, they told Mary and Joseph what the angel had said about the child, and all who heard their tale were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. For in the context of their Hebrew heritage, surely many of them, including Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, were understanding that the prophecies of the Messiah's birth were indeed being fulfilled. For among the newborn lambs for the temple sacrifice now lies the final sacrificial lamb, the Christ child, the Messiah, before them. Verse 20 then tells us that the shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all that they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. As the Christ child was lying in a manger, God was communicating a powerful sign to the people of that time, and indeed a sign for all humanity. God in Christ willingly came into the filthiness of the world to live as one of us. God in Christ willingly expressed his accessibility to even the lowliest people of humanity. God first offered the presence of the Christ child to the shepherds. Shepherds were tolerated because of the necessity of their work, but they were considered unclean, and many people avoided them because they could not maintain the cleansing rituals imposed upon the Jewish people by the Orthodox folks of the day. God in Christ expressed his humanity to all as he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. And later on in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14 tell us, Christ did what God wanted him to do, so that we are all purified from sin by the offering he made of his own body, once and for all. And with one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. God in Christ had no security personnel. There were no lock gates to prevent his presence from being seen by anyone who would see him. And so, on this eve of Christmas Day, may you and I truly appreciate that God in Christ lives among us even today, if we will only earnestly accept him into our hearts and minds, as his presence among us is indeed revealed in Scripture. Gazed upon the Christ child in the straw and mud manger in the shelter below the tower of the flock, Migdal Eder, outside of Bethlehem, and expressed great hope for humanity as they departed, singing hymns of praise to God. May you and I also experience such delight and hope as we too experience Christ's salvation for all who would seek God's grace. And as we envision Christ as the one who offers us the true light of life, as we approach the Christ candle this evening, may we also rejoice in the words of the prophet Isaiah, as the text states in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done. And as we all light our individual candles that represent the personal witness of faith, may we be reminded that it is the light of Christ that inspires us. It is the accessible, loving God in Christ, born of Mary and wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, who truly reveals God's genuine accessibility to all who would seek him. And so as I light my candle from the Christ candle, I also will welcome you to light your lights as well, and indeed be blessed by the presence of the light of Christ, as we also stand and we will sing all stanzas of Silent Night, Holy Night, which is there listed on the back of your bulletin, or it's in hymn number 145 in your hymn book. If you turn it, there we go, turn it the other way. There we go, thank you.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. mild.
Eternal God of all ages, how humbly did you reveal yourself as the Christ child, born of Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger of straw and mud. Your genuine vulnerability and complete accessibility to the lowly shepherds reveals just how great is your love for all humanity. For your great grace, your compassion, for us, even as we depart from your house this Christmas Eve, may we indeed experience the fullness of your presence tonight and all the days you bless us with as we journey forward this day and always. In Christ's name we pray as we depart. Amen.